This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning, the second to last football Friday of this season as we get you ready for championship weekend in the NFL. Some rough commute going in, so be careful out there, especially all the way out where I live, where no one decided to touch the roads and said, screw you guys. You can deal with this because we don't care. Got some baseball to talk about as the Yankees continue to add to their very expensive bullpen. Boomer is back this morning from the site of the Super Bowl down in Atlanta. Good morning, Boomer. Good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Gio. Atlanta was nice. It was like 55 and sunny. It was great. The stadium is ridiculous. Stadium is really nice, man. You'll enjoy the game. The game is going to be great in there, no matter which one of these four teams makes it. And I actually brought you back a gift.
Of course, really?
You know me, when I go on these trips, I like to bring back gifts for you.
Yeah.
And so I brought you back the Atlantan magazine.
Oh, wow. That's very nice of you, Boomer. Yes.
Sold it from the hotel room.
Is that legal? Right. Are you allowed to do that?
I think it's there for you to take.
No,
so
I'll be into
says,
this.
It says the super issue from the game to the gala.
Oh.
So it gives you where you can shop, where you can go eat, and you can do all that stuff. And I know that you're all locked in on this whole thing, so I wanted to make sure that you had the Atlantan magazine.
Oh, thank you, Boomer.
You can't get that stuff on the internet,
I guess. No, I guess you can't. And right. I am really into this. I need to know. See, look, I've got steakhouse recommendations. I mean, this is perfect. So
yes.
We are going to have a good time this weekend. You're right about the teams, because I really don't see a bad matchup on the horizon at all.
It should be great, and hopefully these two games live up to something that we think they're going to live up to, right? I mean, you want to be compelling. You got a lot of great stars. You got very obvious name recognition in both games. You got great coaches. You got the MVP and Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, Drew Brees, basically has all these passing records. You got Jared Goff and Sean McVay, the boy wonder, and I don't know. There's just a lot of storylines, and we have the late game on Sunday, so that game doesn't kick, I think, until 6:40.
Right.
And so, you know, out in Kansas City, late early evening and cold weather and maybe a little bit of wind. So, again, like I went back and looked at the tape of Patrick Mahomes, and he made some good throws against the Colts. Boy, but he made some doozies too, man. I mean, there were balls that actually – there was one ball where he had a guy going right down the middle of the field, and it was the cover two where the safety's split in the back, and, you know, you want the vulnerability of the defense. The longer the guy goes down the field, the wider those safeties get, and he's standing in there, right? And he goes to throw the ball, and, I mean, he's got an easy touchdown. It is a wide open. That ball goes straight. It goes straight for about 15 yards, and then all of a sudden it dips to the right, like into the dirt, and it looked like a Mariano cutter.
Hmm.
You know, that's what it looked like.
Right.
And so he had a little trouble last week with the snow and the wind and a little bit of the cold weather and all that other stuff. So that'd be something to look forward to come Sunday night against the Patriots. And then, of course, you know, you got what's going on down in New Orleans. You know, he's got some injuries. They got some injuries. Their defensive line is banged up. Their offensive line is banged up. Their offensive line did not play good last week against the Eagles. And Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh combined had their best game combined last week against the Cowboys, holding Ezekiel Elliott to under 100 yards. So there's a lot of pressure going into New Orleans on New Orleans, given what they're dealing with. I think their Andres Pete, their left guard, has got a broken hand and had surgery prior to their divisional matchup, and he just had a terrible, terrible time against Fletcher Cox and those guys on the Eagles defensive line. So something to look forward to, too, and I just can't wait until the games get here.
Yeah, I know it's more than just the quarterbacks, but the fascinating matchups with the young guy versus the old guy in both conference championships, and is the young guy ready at this point in his career to be able to take that next step?
It could be the young coach or the young quarterback off
that
of the Rams.
Too. Yeah, that as well. And, you know, Jared Goff has not played all that well towards the end of the season, and really, I mean, yeah, when they beat the Cowboys, they beat the Cowboys, but it's not like Jared Goff was throwing the ball all over the place in that game either. I mean, they ran the ball all over the place.
Yeah, but if I got to tell you that they have now all of a sudden C.J. Anderson, who looks like he ate the previous C.J. Anderson, running like he's running with Todd Gurley and taking the pressure off of Todd Gurley like that. And look, dude, I don't care what you say. The fundamentals of football are still the same. Control the line of scrimmage. That's what they have been doing, and that's why they are dangerous going into New Orleans, because if they're going to run the ball like this and do it the way that they did it against the Cowboys, that's how you control a football game.
Yeah, did you see what C.J. Anderson blamed the weight gain on? So C.J. Anderson was asked about this because it's clear that the guy is bigger than we've ever seen him in the NFL. And he said that he was the freshest back in the league, which I don't deny because he has got no mileage on him this year.
Well,
barely.
He basically ate himself out of the league.
Right, but he said that he had man pregnancy weight because he's got a daughter due in April and he has been putting on the weight.
Just like you did.
Yes! So now C.J. Anderson and me, we got something in common, and I want this guy to run for 200 yards against the Saints. It's going to be tough because, of course, Todd Gurley gets the majority of the work.
Last week he didn't.
But that's actual carries. But I think Todd Gurley was on the field for a larger percentage of the time, and he gets used in the passing game a hell of a lot more than C.J. Anderson.
C.J. Anderson is the first running back in NFL history to have his first three games go over 100 yards and include a rushing touchdown along with that.
Yeah, it's incredible. And he's huge right now, which makes it even better. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he is big.
Yeah, like big guys doing athletic things like that is always a lot of fun. And the fact that he looks quick, and he's right, he does look fresh. So, yeah, and of course we know how well the Saints run the ball too. So, I mean, you got these two teams, everybody's focused on the high-flying offenses, and it's in the Superdome, and, you know, Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks and all the stuff that you could have. You know, it might come down to the fact that you got whoever runs the ball better and controls the pace of the game and slows it down might win this game. It might go that way as well.
You were talking about Michael Thomas. You know, obviously he and Marcus Peters got a lot of things going on back, and they're trying to calm it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I think both coaches are trying to not give the other team any fuel for fire. And even Sean Payton came out and said, well, you know, it's going to be really different this week because Aqib Talib is in this game. He wasn't in the game previous. But I would say which one of these guys is going to lose their cool in the game? Somebody's going to lose their cool in this game. And somebody's going to throw a flag on somebody. You know, it's just going to...
Well, it's probably going to be the Rams guys, right? Because, I mean, they're way more volatile.
I don't know. Michael Thomas is pretty volatile.
No, you know, they did one thing. He went and got the cell phone underneath the goalpost. Outside of that, has he ever even had a personal foul penalty?
I'm talking about when they go after each other on the field on Sunday, it's going to be volatile. I'm not talking about celebrations and all that. I am talking about intensity between two athletes that are obviously going to be highlighted by Fox. I know we would do that for CBS, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But at the end of the day, those two athletes are going to be locked up somewhere along the line in this game. And somebody's going to be jawing back to somebody else, and something stupid's going to happen.
It's going to be the Rams guys, man. It's Talib, Peters, and Sue. I mean, those guys? Are you kidding me?
And then on the other side, the Kansas City Chiefs are the most penalized team in football. All right? And they caused the most penalties, or they have – taking the most penalties in their secondary of any secondary in football. Lo and behold, last week, you didn't see any of those flags. The question is, are they going to allow the secondary of the Kansas City Chiefs to maul the New England Patriots? And when the Patriots lost to the Chiefs 2 years ago in opening night when Alex Smith was still there, Kareem Hunt's opening game, the whole thing, I'm telling you, Eric Berry was all over Rob Gronkowski, and they wouldn't throw a flag. They didn't throw a flag, and it's one of the reasons why Kansas City was able to beat New England in Gillette Stadium that night. And then going back and watching the Colts tape, there were a number of times where they could have been called, but they weren't, because it seems like these all-star officiating crews are allowing the players to play. And there is some inconsistency in that area, so I'm sure Bill Belichick will be talking to the referee and telling him, hey, you know, let's call a game the way we always call the game, or are we going to change it now because we're in the playoffs? I think it's one of the reasons why I think the defense has been a little bit better here late in the season, because I think that they kind of calmed down on some of the penalty flags.
You know how we all look back at the Patriots-Chargers game in hindsight and said, well, why the hell did we think the Chargers were going to win? Because the Patriots never lose at Foxborough,
wait,
they do.
Time out. Who picked the Chargers?
We all did.
I did not. I picked the Patriots.
That's a lie.
To win the game.
Well, okay. You know what I'm saying. We picked the Chargers.
You talk about the number.
Yeah, we picked the Chargers.
But I said the game was going to be a 3-point game. The Chargers would be close, but the Patriots would win.
Yeah,
the Chargers in the 4.5 points or whatever it was.
My point wasn't based on your particular take on this. There was a lot of people.
But you said we, so I thought I was a part of we.
Okay, so.
We!
So the point was that a lot of people who thought the Chargers were going to win, and this is where this whole thing was born out of, and Tom Brady, I'm not done, and Julian Edelman's stupid t-shirts that he's selling for $30 that says bet against us. But anyway, why would we pick the Chargers to win this game or even cover this game and all this stuff? Because they are the Patriots. They never lose at home. They're always in the championship game. I mean, are we going to be saying the same thing, those of us who may pick the Chiefs? How could we pick against the Patriots in this game when you got Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, going against a guy who is making his first start in a championship game in Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid, who is known for never getting it done in the biggest of games, to always get into championship games and only get through one of them with the Eagles and then losing that Super Bowl? I just wonder if that will be the same type of narrative after this game for those that are on the Chiefs, or is this Chiefs team just so special and the Patriots are a different team on the road and Patrick Mahomes is so good that that stuff doesn't matter?
Well, Arrowhead's also a tough place to play, and the Patriots have gotten smashed there. If you remember 3 or 4 years ago, they lost a Sunday night game there and everybody said Tom Brady was done, right? So, you know, there's fuel to this fire as well, and there is some logic to the idea that the Chiefs are going to, you know, play well in front of their home fans because their defense tends to be a little bit different. But also, you got to look at the losing record for Tom Brady on the road in the playoffs, and the fact that the 3 times that he lost the AFC Championship game basically all came down to losing to Peyton Manning.
Right, and Peyton Manning was, you know, him and Tom Brady were at the top of the top. Right now, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the top of the top, so you could definitely make that connection. The coaching edge is, of course, going to go to Belichick, because how could it not? The talent edge, the quarterback position, is going to go to Mahomes. But Tom Brady, with all the experience, can you see him losing this game? It's just, I mean, it is fascinating. And as I sit here right now, I still don't know who I'm going to pick at the end of the show, because I'm not confident. Every time I feel like I've developed an idea of how the game is going to go, I get reminded of something else with one of these other teams that doesn't make me feel comfortable picking against them.
Well, you know, the thing is that just pick the Patriots. That would be an upset, and you know, because they are underdogs. So he's 2-3 in AFC Championship games on the road. Those 3 losses all came at the hands of Peyton Manning. So they lost that game out in Denver 20-18, and that was a game really where they – you know, Denver really didn't have an offense because Peyton Manning was, you know, a shell of himself at that time. And because that game was in Denver, they were able to win because that defense was able to hold Brady and Gronkowski and everybody else just to 18 points. So I don't think the Chiefs defense is that good. No matter what they did last week, I don't think the Patriots are going to go in there and look like the Colts. I just don't. I just think they're too battle-tested, too motivated. These two teams know each other really, really well. And really, for me, it comes down to whether or not Patrick Mahomes really plays like the Patrick Mahomes that we've seen all year long, or is he going to play like he played last week? Because I think if he plays the way that he played last week, that's not going to be good enough to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, and I don't think that the Chiefs defense is going to look like the Chargers either against the Patriots, which is interesting to say because the Chargers defense was so much better than the Chiefs defense throughout the year, but yet I trust the Chiefs defense against this Patriots offense a little bit more because they're not going to be doing the same thing schematically that the Chargers did, where Tom Brady just said, all right, thank you. I'm just going to take everything that you're giving me right now and then destroy you on every single drive and score a touchdown.
Well, I guess the question is whether or not Eric Berry is going to play for Kansas City. He's practicing. It looks like he's going to play. And if he does play, does he play the way he played 2 years ago against Tom Brady opening night? Because if he plays that way and is able to get away with some of the things that he was able to get away with that night, Well, that means they're going to let him play, and that's going to be advantage Kansas City.
Yeah, how do you stop Edelman, and how do you stop that ground game are the two things for me. Because
how about James White? 15 catches last week. I mean, yeah. You got Sony Michel, you got James White, you got Rex Burkhead. They line up with a fullback. They run the ball. They play action. Tom Brady was either 28 of, I think, 36 or 29 of 37, 10 yards or less in that game last week. And the Chiefs play a lot of zone defense, just like San Diego does. So I would imagine the game plan is going to be somewhat similar. But it's all about, as Joey Bosa said, and we heard him on Inside the NFL, that Brady's amazing. Why? That ball was out under 2 seconds. It is gone.
Yeah, he didn't even sniff him. Him and Ingram didn't sniff him that entire divisional
game. The ball's gone. You know, and the ball's gone, and you have pass rushers like the Chiefs have, and they have the advantage with the sound on their side or the noise on their side. You got to get rid of the football. So that's exactly going to be the game plan, I would think. Very similar to what we saw against the Chargers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.